Hi, I'm Andrew Rich, and if you're like me, you look at the state of modern wrestling discourse and think, wow, what a cesspool. That's why I'm here to tell you about Music of the Mat Remix. That's right, your favorite wrestling music podcast is back with a new format, where I bring on a guest and we play songs related to wrestling-themed topics. It could be a wrestling reference, a wrestling concept, a wrestling pun, things of that nature. Now you might be saying, Andrew, that is a very, very tenuous connection to pro wrestling on a wrestling podcast network. Is this just an excuse to hang out with your friends and talk about music and ignore the rest of the wrestling landscape? Yes. Yes, it is. So listen to Music of the Mat Remix on the Voices of Wrestling Podcast Network, available on Apple, Spotify, or your podcast player of choice.
This podcast is a member of the Voices of Wrestling Podcasting Network. Visit voicesofwrestling.com to hear the rest of our great podcasts, as well as show reviews, columns, opinions, and updates across the world of wrestling.
Rob McCarron.
Hashtag authority. Hashtag Steph Bouncy. Hashtag SmackDown 15.
Jeff Hawkins.
You done digging that hole?
You're listening to Shake Them Ropes with Rob McCarron and Jeff Hawkins.
Dance on your grave, dirt sheet writer.
Shake Them Ropes. Just Jeff Hawkins this week. Lovable fuzzball that he is. Rob McCarron woke up under the weather, and then it didn't get better from there. And had I gotten the message, I had some issues at work. Had I got the message earlier, I tried to get a replacement. Tried to do, this is a bad analogy, but the equivalent of makeup sex with Paul, my co-host on the Dynamite show last night, because Paul is a proud Canadian. And while I rarely get to the levels of peak obnoxiousness that I can sometimes get when I'm doing comedy, or dating. I went in hard with an outfit and a dance and a song and about U.S. hockey and our victories there. And you can tell he wasn't appreciative because he's trying to shut down the bit so it doesn't get funny. He doesn't let, when Paul gets angry, it's like, I need to fight against this funny. To make you see, as opposed to letting it go and taking the laugh with the hit, which is the magic of straight men, is the abuse is what makes it funny. If you ever watch me in a improv show, that is my default because I usually work with a maniac. But it's also one of those things where it's like you're watching someone suffer is funny. That's what comedy is. We don't fix problems. We make them worse. Drama fixes problems. But you're stuck with me, and if you haven't turned it off by now, you're gonna get some news, some EC previews, generalness. I don't get a chance to talk AEW that much because I'm not sure Rob necessarily watches it. If he does, it's just kind of a once-over. I don't think he enjoys AEW. My other co-host really liked NXT, and that's something I don't watch, but I paid attention this week, so I may delve into that. So the show shifts personality based on what other people like, so what have you. But hey, if you're an original member of The Vision, you're not on TV anymore. Bronson Reed tearing his bicep during that qualifier match that apparently he was supposed to win, which gives me pause. And I've said this point before, and it's more of a Vince McMahon trope, but I could see Hunter also being into this, is that Bronson Reed, if you remember when he was in that War Games, they do this with certain acts that can fly but are overweight. It's the Chris Farley fatty fall down spot. And I just have a feeling he'd be doing something off of a pod this time, and I'm kind of glad he's not. I think Bronson Reed is sneaky funny in these Vision segments, kind of playing the straight man while also playing the heavy. You know, Bron's a maniac, Logan's cocky. I guess I could say Austin Theory's trying. Seth is doing his Groundlings meets Elton John impression where he and Becky go into their closets and see who can pick the most ridiculous thing. That would be in a sketch comedy act. But Bronson always has this demeanor about him where it's like he's in charge of himself and he just kind of waits and he hits the comedy with a scalpel, and that's why I love him. Now, I don't know what this does to plans, because we'll get to it in the Elimination Chamber, but it was also part of Raw. Here comes Brock Lesnar doing an open challenge gimmick. And I find open challenge gimmicks have to be one of two things. It either has to be lazy booking, or you have a surprise. And I tend to think the back-to-back going of that and the Oba Femi segment signals that eventually Oba answers this. I hope to God WrestleMania is not LA Knight answering this call just to get suplexed 40 times. That's no buys for me, even though I like Brock Lesnar's murder death. I understand if people don't want to watch him because of his involvement in the Janelle Grant thing. I have no comments about that Janelle Grant press conference other than if you're about to have a judge rule on NDAs and you're out there talking about NDAs, I'm not sure it was the smartest idea from her attorney. I don't know the strategy behind it. Unless it's to get things out there before you get ruled against. And then it's just, you know, house money. But, you know, I'm waiting and seeing. I can see it go either way based on my limited legal knowledge. And I haven't been in the legal space in a number of years. I do legal software now. But I saw that she was doing a public press conference. And I'm just like, okay. One of my partners used to just say the person who's talking to the press is the person who's losing the case usually. So I tend to take that as a good barometer. But we'll see. We'll preview Elimination Chamber in a bit. I think there's a chance they do one of those spots where Brock enters in the Elimination Chamber, and God help them if it's at the expense of Javon Evans, where he just gets F5'd 13 times on the concrete, and then Brock enters the chamber. It's a terrible trope, but I'll try and work my way through it, and we'll see if you agree, because I could also see the women doing that as well. AJ Styles, rumored to have been down at the Performance Center earlier, announced during that retirement ceremony that he will be going into the Hall of Fame. I guess Undertaker is now a veteran with a yellow jacket, if you're doing this in the Football Hall of Fame terms, where they knock on the door and it's, you know, oh, look, camera crew, we'll get their reaction, et cetera, et cetera. I guess they've decided to do that with Undertaker now. I was never one of these people that thought AJ Styles was ever going to be in AEW, and this to me signals he won't. I think there's a chance he's keeping things on good terms to have a job after he retires, and he may enjoy teaching. I think there's also a very, very good chance that his son may want to pursue wrestling, and he wants to keep the door open to WWE. As many veterans who have kids who want to follow in their father's footsteps do. I'm on 2 hours sleep, kids, so if my words get jumbled, I apologize. I did think there's a chance of a carve-out for a New Japan run, but I don't know if that's going to be doable for him now, but I could see, hey, I'll stay with you and teach, but you got to let me do this one last run in Japan because I really enjoyed my time there. But I do not see Osprey, Omega, etc. happening in the States or under the AEW banner. And I could also see them vetoing it in New Japan if it happened there. So we shall see. Let's get a few notes from Dynamite. Again, I do an entire show on Dynamite on Wednesdays. It's called The Dynamite Show. It's a very original title. myself and the aforementioned Paul Fontaine about 20 minutes after it goes off the air live on YouTube. Drops in your podcatchers the next day as part of Fight Game Media. I felt bad for Kevin Knight because it's an acting thing that happened to him, especially when you don't have a script or at least words written out or you need to improvise. It's the don't think about the elephant and then you say elephant thing, because I think in that script where he says, I mean, and it's an expositional promo, which is also just, it's the worst kind of promo, especially he started really good with I'm happy. It's like, great, let's explore the happiness. Why are you happy? And then they had to get to the points they wanted to make. It's like, I'd much rather learn about Kevin Knight than hear about, here's the words I need to say to get my title match for next week. And apparently he's going to be the Apollo Creed for Hangman Page as MJF takes him on next week. But he goes and he's talking about who knows what stipulation it could be. It might be a one-way DQ. It's like, and you're watching that and going, of all the choices, coal miner's glove, tuxedo, cage, loser leaves town, lumberjack, lumberjack belts with spikes, Judy Bagwell on a pole match. You pick the one that he's going to come out with. Oh, I felt so bad for him. I enjoyed the Swerve promo. I did. And for its simplicity, look, the Hangman MJF segment was straight out of 1986. You can see the dust gathering on it. Because as soon as he pulls out the coin, you go, that has to be a double-sided coin. And it was nice of them to not make the stupid baby face. As Paul and I discussed last night, look, I fervently disagree that Hangman Page is best on promos. That's a hill I will go to war on. In anyways, I understand the Wrestling Observer fan base, because I moderate their board, such as it is, wants to be anti-WWE and wants to, you know, sicko stand up for their little company. My problem with Hangman is very simple. When he's angry, I don't believe him. And I don't think he believes him. And I think that's the problem, is he's trying to sell that he's angry, but he's too nice of a guy. My suggestion was watch Magnum TA. And yeah, he's old, and yeah, he's not the best actor in the world, but I believe he's angry when he's angry, and I believe that internal rage of his. Hangman has an uncomfortable rage, and not an uncomfortable rage in that you're scared of him. It's the child having the temper tantrum in the middle of the toy store kind of uncomfortableness, like someone needs to come get their boy. Because he's crying, he's not getting Legos. It's that kind of anger, like, I hate you, Mom! You know, that kind of thing, and you're just like, two promos I love, because they're both in the same neighborhood, but they're a little bit different. Harley Cameron just has funny bones. And God help her if she was ever in an improv theater when I was there at the same time, because all the teachers would be going, hey, I'll come coach you. I was not a teacher. I was a coach. But she starts at her 10, and she captures the moment with whatever promo she does, and she's always on. Yeah, she's playing to the back of the room a bit. Yeah, she's going a little bit too big and could be reined in a bit. But again, it's a classic comedy note. I would rather you go too big and me have to bring you down, then go too small and tell you to get bigger. And Harley Cameron is just a big character. Now, the other one, you didn't watch Collision, and you didn't see the exclusive on social media, Tekla. I am such a ginormous Tekla fan, because her thing is she is dialed in always. You never catch her slipping if the camera accidentally catches her. She's always in character. And her character is just that mix of, for lack of a better term, sexy, but also crazy. And to go Colin Cowherd on you all, because Colin Cowherd, all he ever does is, his comparisons are always, he's the guy at the bar who does this. Okay. Tekla is the first coffee date that's going so well. At 2 a.m, you're in Tijuana, and she wants to start a fight with 20 guys, and you're there and going, what have I gotten myself into? Kind of crazy. She's what's needed. She's a little Bray Wyatt, but more believable. Kind of Bray Wyatt. I guess is how I would put it. Mad Dog Buzz Sawyer maybe is a good, because I've always believed he was crazy. Not quite over the top like Roddy Piper. Everybody always goes Roddy Piper. I always find Roddy Piper to be a little bit too, doesn't let his promos breathe in a way. Whereas Tekla has to breathe because she's kind of transposing her promo from a different language into English. Although this week she's transposing her promos from a different language into English into Spanish, which makes it fun. As opposed to, say, the funniest moment to me, other than on Dynamite last night, other than El Clone is waiting for Moxley to put him in a sleeper. He's just leaning back and going, where's Moxley? And Moxley to the corner going, oh yeah, got to put him in a sleeper. He might be a beat ahead. Was the Okada Kyle Fletcher promo, where Fletcher is dialed in and happy and waiting for Okada to get through the words he's trying to remember with his grin. And it's slightly uncomfortable as he's going through the words. Overall, though, last night, it was an interesting strategy. Last week's Dynamite was phenomenal. This week's felt like one of those episodes of a TV show where they're just moving the chess pieces, mostly because they want to get the one main story over, and they did with MJF and Adam Page. I thought it was pretty good. I think it might have needed to wait a week or two, but we'll see how the build goes there. As I said, I got to catch some of NXT because I don't watch the State of the Union. I am a person who goes, this could have been an email. If you guys want to blame history geek here. Woodrow Wilson, worst president ever for various reasons. Go read about him. He's an absolute scumbag. But he was also the one who brought back the State of the Union as a semi-fascistic bread and circuses act to do it as a speech. And then with the advent of television, it became an event. I will vote for anybody of any party who makes it a letter to Congress. Again, that is the one thing I will do. If someone goes, I will not give a State of the Union, I'll just write a letter and say, hey, we're doing well. I'm there, man. That's my thing. But this was baffling to me, because we decided to have multiple title changes on a show where half of the stations were preempted by this whole entire State of the Union mess, because they're on the CW. And CW is what used to be known as UHF stations. It has live local news. And they tend to cover big events like this, like debates and whatnot. So on that night is the night they decide to reboot half the titles to finally pay off on a 9-month heel turn. I saw that and I just go, huh, okay, that's a choice. Now, NXT has made another choice that I think is positive. Stand and Deliver, no longer on WrestleMania weekend. A little bit disappointing. Look, those NXT Mania shows are great, but when they're on the West Coast, and you've been out maybe imbibing, maybe watching Joey Janela's Spring Break, maybe just hanging out and gambling till 2 a.m. Sure, why not? Put all that money on a horn roll on craps. It's hard to wake up at 9 a.m. to watch WWE-style wrestling or any wrestling because everybody's tired. Again, anecdote for longtime listeners, they'll remember this. I went to the Stand and Deliver here in Los Angeles. Tiffany Stratton gets on top of a ladder in a match inside the ring. Prettiest moonsault ever out to the floor. Nobody catches her. And I'm like, there are times you want to stay in bed. And this is one of those times. Interesting enough, they did not put the belt on Sol Ruka, but they did pay off the Zaruka split. Part of me was kind of hoping they underwhelm on the what's in the box surprise and they put Fatal Influence in there because JC and company would get the heat. I think JC's fantastic. I think she's grown so much. People have listened to the show again. I was early on this and I was talking about, you know, them doing the model training where when you have a sexy gimmick, you have to walk that imaginary tightrope down the middle of the floor, you know, 1 foot over the other in the front, and other people took that point. And hey, you know, steal from the best. I'm here for it. But I think in terms of putting the whole package together, she's been fantastic. I think Lacey, is that the name? I can't remember names anymore because they're just so ridiculous and uneventful. Bring back nicknames so I remember them, kids, because I can't. But her and Fallon, I think the third person is an upgrade over Jasmine Nix. I think they've got their groove. And I think you can take the belts off of them, move them up to the main roster. And instead of doing, you know, we're here to take over or whatever, just make them a force in one of these divisions. I'd even include, if you wanted to, Blake Monroe. Though there's a lot of chatter from the AEW types because it's award season. Oh, Tony Storm got this. And, oh, look, Blake's struggling. It's like, I still support Blake's move to NXT. You want to see if you can play Carnegie. She had done everything in AEW, and AEW is not going to make her a bigger star. She's going to be on television wrestling. And that's the difference here to me. Look, Tony has gotten over with his gimmick with the sickos. It's not something you can put on normal places and send her out because look, the thing about these gimmicks is, oh, well, she could clean up for television. It's like, yeah, but if you're so far into the gimmick, it's that good. You're not going to remember that and you don't want to be on Regis and Kathy Lee for whoever's hosting that now. She hasn't hosted that for years. I get that. But, I think of the Rick Rude thing. I was like, that was not the thing to put on that early in the morning. Gyrating stuff. It's like, no. But, I mean, NXT is a tough watch for me at times. I don't care about the speed tournaments. Thea Hale is floundering, and I love her to death. But they should have kept Chase U. This legacy act is bad. Now, Ren and Kendall are fantastic. Ren and Kendall are an act that needs to start getting elevated as opposed to Ren just takes losses and Kendall kind of gets there eventually. They have the most presence of anybody, and here comes Nikita Lyons to be Nikita Lyons, God bless her, for better or for worse. But and then, like, look, I like Miles Bourne. He thinks Stephanie would care. But I like him overall for other reasons. But he's a great story, and that story could have been told last time. You know, hard of hearing wrestler, hero that kids look up to, and they never really go there with him. It's still, you know, hey, he can't hear jokes, and it's insulting, and it's crass, and I hate it. Ethan Page will be fine. The Vanity Project, I think, are solid. I think eventually they will find peak television obnoxiousness. I am here for Pretty Boys who, look, this was the Pretty Deadly gimmick too, you know, be attractive men who the neck beards and cargo shorts hate. I'm here for that. Yeah. Still though, a baffling show by any stretch of the imagination that you would do that much on a show that nobody's gonna watch and would have to seek out. I don't get it. But now to the quote unquote main event, because I'm falling asleep talking to myself. That's, I used to do this on stage too. I'd be like 5 minutes into my act and go, I'm bored with this act too. I'm going to go out and boo myself. But here we go. 4-match card, which means lots of commercials. Get ready. You're going to hear that complaint as opposed to the 16-match show of Revolution, which is going to just be match, and you know what? You'll have to pick something, and you know what you're going to pick to go to the snack bar. Probably a women's match. That crowd always does that, and there will be a struggle session about it. Maybe. I don't know. Well, you know, that El Idolo versus Bandido match, maybe. Although I like it. Other people may not, because I'm not sure where anybody goes from there. I haven't seen anything on the card. Once they finalize the card, you'll know where people are going to go. All right, I need to take a break and just walk around a bit. Whereas WWE fits that in, perhaps to a excruciatingly painful crawl. But I'm going to be at home, so I won't care. Starting with the men's Elimination Chamber match, Randall Orton versus LA Knight versus Cody Rhodes versus Javon Evans versus Trick Williams versus Jey Uso. I thought for some reason Jacob Fatu was in this match. What the hell happened to me? There is a rumor that Trick Williams has gotten over to the point where they may turn him babyface. I would not. This also feels like, possibly, to make this match bigger, Brock. I'm not saying they're going to, and I'm not saying he'd win it, but I wouldn't be surprised if he was inserted into this. My money's on no. I'm just saying keep it open. That's all I'm saying. I think eventually the Brock thing is to get to Obafemi. I will stand by that. Who wins this to go on to face Drew? See, I thought Jacob Fatu would be in this so he could win, and then Cody would eventually say, I have to find a path to WrestleMania and do that crap. Ugh. I feel like Gunther is going to go to Randy. Possibly. Gonna go with Cody here. That's the only one I can think of right now. I'll have to watch SmackDown and see how they kind of frame it. Although I could see Jacob Fatu getting into there and screwing it for Cody. And then somebody like Randy wins it, or Trick even. Trick Williams has been hinting at going after Drew. Might be, you know what? This might be... Here's the thing. Here's why I'm struggling with this so much, while other people are probably screaming at their podcasting device saying that this is simple. I have that narrative that I think isn't real but could be real, that WWE is worried about ticket sales. I don't think they are. I think they're playing with house money. If you saw the corporate things, they are making more than the UFC. They are fine right now. Will they get a full house? Probably. Will it be papered? Sure. Will everybody who has a WrestleNomics subscription be wringing their hands as to whether or not it's a real number? Who knows? It's a dumb thing anyways, and you know they're going to do it. It's built in. It's baked into the cake. But it's there. And so while Dwayne probably will not be inserting himself into this match, I could see them going, hey, how about Brock? But I think Cody Rhodes... Oh, no. No, I can't. I can't get there. I can't say they're going to do Cody versus... Okay, yes, they are. They're going to do Cody versus Drew versus Jacob Fatu. They have to do it that way, and that's how they get there. So I half expect Cody Rhodes to win this, but this would be where I'd... Now, it might even be Jacob Fatu beating up somebody like LA Knight or Jey Uso and getting in there and winning it. It's a bad trope, but it's a trope nevertheless. Now I say that thinking that there is a possibility, because I'm going to go to this match next. Becky Lynch versus AJ Lee in a singles match for the WWE Women's Intercontinental Championship. I find, and I was going to bring this up to whoever was my co-host this week, Becky Lynch is kind of at this moment what we thought Chris Jericho was in AEW. The star who says they're putting people over. At the end, they get their win back, and that person that they're in the feud with doesn't get very much. Lyra Valkyria, where are you? Maxine Dupree laying prone on the floor. Becky Lynch, still Intercontinental Champion. This could possibly be screw job to lead to WrestleMania, where AJ Lee then wins it and gets a moment doing that. Could see AJ Lee winning it here clean, and then Becky enters the chamber, wins it there, and that she becomes the person for Jade. I don't think that's going to happen. Feels like that's going to be Tiffany Stratton, but we'll get into that. Or whoever's a champ. They could always take the belt off of Jade at any time. Do Bianca and do Becky and Bianca again and revisit that. Who knows? I don't know if Jade Cargill makes it to WrestleMania as champion. If she does, it's probably straightforward. But if they're worried about the ticket prices, and this is the only reason I'm saying this. You could turn Becky Lynch babyface, put her up against, because everybody wants to cheer for the man, get rid of this ridiculous heel character of hers, do it somehow through the Vision, who she, you know, stood up to that one time. I don't know. But if they're very worried about ticket sales, they could turn Becky Lynch babyface here. Shake hands with AJ Lee, lift her hand, move on, find her way into the Elimination Chamber, and she wins it. But I think AJ Lee wins this one. I think it's an all-Chicago final, because I think CM Punk beats Finn Balor. I don't see that being a change. Women's Elimination Chamber, Tiffany Stratton, Rhea Ripley, Alexa Bliss, Asuka, Kiana James, called it, versus Raquel Rodriguez. One of these things is not like the other. Tiffany Stratton has no tag partner within this. I think the other five, God help us, are we getting a multi-team ladder match involving women at WrestleMania? I think so. I think it's better than a gauntlet. Gauntlets suck at WrestleMania because they're always rushed for time. And if it's raining, then the Iconics will slip down the ramp. But it's always one of those things where I know they want to get everybody on. It's a two-night deal. And as much as I hate ladder matches, I think this might be a tag team ladder match for the tag titles. And I think we get there. But I think Tiffany Stratton, prettiest moonsault ever, presumably possibly off of a pod, gets there. Very interesting how Kiana James does. I will reiterate, I find her very, very much improved watching her entire career arc. I think she's game. I think, unfortunately, this Julia pairing has not been what they thought it would be for Julia. And I will admit, I think Julia is the better of the two wrestlers. But I think Kiana gets the game better. I think she over-delivered in the Royal Rumble. I think she'll over-deliver in this match because she is tough. You don't think she's tough? Go watch that NXT match with Tatum Paxley that involved Legos and stuff like that and landing on those. She is game for the violence, and I respect that. So I think Tiffany Stratton wins this one, and the rest of the women go into a tag team schmoz of some kind. I don't think it's real, unless we're worried about the ticket sales. Once again, in Rhea Ripley, Jade. And, you know, it's chalk and it's boring, but it's marketable and it's what people want to see. That's the thing fandom doesn't get about ticket sales. People want what's expected for the most part, and they like a surprise here and there. They don't like surprises and swerve booking with the occasional logical end. They like going along for the story. They like following the story and the characters. And then when the ending comes, they go, oh, that was nice and really well done. Hooray, I'll be back next time for that. See, Game of Thrones, nobody liked that ending at all. But anyways, I appreciate those who stuck with me through my ums and ahs. I tend to like to take breaks so I can think about things that people are saying, and instead, I didn't pause at all this time. Very proud of myself. Just went through the entire thing. But you can follow me at CrapGame13. You can follow the show at Shake Them Ropes. I just kind of tweet out whenever the show comes out. It's a show-only thing. My other show, as I said earlier, please go watch on video this week, because the first 10 minutes are ridiculous, even though I didn't get my entire promo out as an ugly American rooting on both men's and women's hockey. But it's the Dynamite Show on Fight Game. Myself and Paul Fontaine, about 20 minutes after, we go live, drops in your pod catchers the next week. Enjoy the wrestling if you're watching it. We'll see you next week.
Hi, I'm Case Lowe, co-host of the Open the Voice Gate podcast. The one question I'm constantly asked when it comes to Dragon Gate is, how do I get into the promotion? Well, stop asking and start listening to the Open the Voice Gate podcast, released every Wednesday on the Voices of Wrestling Podcasting Network. For exclusive news and show reviews, look no further than the leader in Dragon Gate coverage, Open the Voice Gate.